Tonight, misery in paradise. From the Keys to the Caribbean, warships and cruise ships aiding in a massive emergency operation for islands left devastated by Irma. And across Florida, 15 million people left powerless. Some could be knocked out for a month. Growing outrage, Congress now stepping in as lawsuits pile up over the security breach hitting nearly half the U.S. population. Tonight, every American adult being urged to take protective action. Hormone replacement therapy, news for millions of women dealing with menopause. After all those headlines about health fears, why researchers now say it's an option you might want to consider. And about face, unlock your phone just by looking at it. A big announcement from Apple. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West. Thank you for being here tonight. The devastation from Hurricane Irma is fully revealing itself in the stunning images coming out of the Florida Keys, where an urgent search and recovery effort is underway. FEMA estimating a quarter of the homes there have been destroyed. And up and down Florida, an estimated 15 million people faced another day without power in stifling heat. Tonight, the death toll from Irma here in the U.S. has climbed to at least 17 across three states. And we learned today that President Trump will visit Florida on Thursday. We begin our coverage with the desperate situation of the Keys and NBC's Gotti Schwartz. Gotti, good evening.
Good evening, Lester. This is where Hurricane Irma first made landfall in the United States. And when it did, it packed winds so strong that it lifted this mobile home up over this fence, smashing it right here on the ground. And neighbors around here talk of seeing tornadoes as the hurricane's eye passed. And if we take a live look from above, you can see Hurricane Irma's paths of destruction stretching all throughout the Florida Keys.
Tonight, in some parts of the Florida Keys, what was once a paradise, now completely destroyed.
I couldn't see 8 feet away. It was such a whiteout of water.
In one family's home, the clock stopped around one, just hours after Hurricane Irma made landfall.
Every door's gone, the roof's gone.
Mobile homes tossed over fences and demolished.
Here in Big Pine Key, some homes ripped off their foundation while other homes completely flattened.
Many of these neighborhoods ghost towns after residents evacuated. While those who braved the storm are just starting to check on the damage, some scavenging through debris to find gas, batteries, and water.
We need water, food, we need gas.
And in the stretch of highway linking some of America's most famous sailing communities, broken boats litter the roads and the shores.
It's not going to be any tourism down here for quite some time, which is going to make life tough. No way to make a living.
Irma's impacts are still crippling much of the southeast. In Jacksonville, it could take a week for historic floodwaters to recede. Today, the mayor praised first responders for rescuing more than 350 people from rising waters.
What I saw on the ground yesterday was nothing short of what the definition of what humanity should be all about.
Streets in Charleston still flooded after 4 feet of water rushed into downtown. And in Georgia, at least two people were killed by falling trees from Irma's ferocious winds. But there are some hopeful signs that normalcy is returning. The Miami and Fort Lauderdale airports reopened today.
I got three flights, and so whichever one is going to be on time and that's actually going to come through, I hope to be on.
And in Miami Beach, bumper-to-bumper traffic as residents were allowed to return home for the first time. The road to recovery may be the longest here in the Florida Keys, but those who live here say they're ready to rebuild.
We're going to come back strong. Everybody that lives here in this community, we will survive. We will survive this.
Gotti Schwartz, NBC News, Cudjoe Key, Florida.
I'm Miguel Almaguer with the U.S. Navy, who tonight by air and sea is deploying across the Florida Keys, a swarm of MH-60s looking for the stranded, anyone in need.
When the same search and rescue teams were deployed in the air over Harvey, their rescue missions lasted days. And they usually say it's at the end of their mission when they find the most desperate.
Landing today on the USS Abraham Lincoln, this warship is on a mission of mercy.
24 boxes per pallet. So
weapon magazines where ammunition is stored, tonight packed with food and water.
We can do a lot. We can provide about an extra 100,000 gallons of water per day.
On a new mission to supply the basics, rescue and recon teams are back in the air tonight. Arriving just behind Irma, now they face a new storm on the horizon. A region brought to its knees and thousands in desperate need.
Rescue and relief missions are just getting underway. The Navy is using more than a dozen helicopters and massive cargo planes like this one to go around the clock. They even have infrared so they can spot the stranded in those debris fields overnight. Lester.
All right, Miguel Almaguer, thank you. And as the search and rescue operations continue in the Keys, it's misery for up to 15 million more throughout the state of Florida, left without power. That means no AC in sweltering heat, no place to cook, no lights or TV. Crews are working around the clock, but with so many knocked out, some could be waiting for weeks. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has our report from Hialeah, Florida.
It's the largest power restoration effort in U.S. history. Tonight, local crews, plus teams from New York, Pennsylvania, even Minnesota, working to light up the Southeast.
We've got 20,000 workers from 30 different states and Canada here.
Courtney Kermer and her family are staying with friends after the temperature inside their home near Fort Lauderdale reached a stifling 88 degrees.
It feels very overwhelming, especially when I look outside and I see our house, our trees, our life, everything that we've worked for and built is now kind of in jeopardy.
15 million people lost power in Florida alone. This is the view from space before Irma and after. This time lapse shows the moment Miami went dark. Philip Lobowitz says this generator is crucial for his sick wife.
It's life-giving. Literally life-giving.
At this senior facility in Fort Lauderdale, they're trying to keep the AC on.
The biggest concern is making sure that you have enough fuel to continue to operate the generator.
And it can be dangerous. In Southwest Florida, 20 people, including 13 children, were rushed to the hospital after carbon monoxide from a generator apparently got inside a home. In Miami-Dade County, firefighters tell us medical calls are up.
We have people within the territory that are dependent on electricity for their lives. And once the power goes out, if they don't have a backup power source, they need to be taken to the hospital immediately.
Power crews working in this neighborhood outside Miami are actually from Connecticut. Schools in this region remain closed because many of them just don't have power. Now, FPL, Florida's largest utility, says it hopes to restore electricity to the state's East Coast by this weekend, but other parts of Florida could be in the dark for much longer. Lester.
All right, Gabe Gutierrez, thank you. In the Caribbean, an urgent relief mission is underway for the islands left in ruins by the force of Hurricane Irma. Thousands there are desperate for food, water, and other supplies in this still unfolding crisis. NBC's Ron Ma joined the Coast Guard as they made their way to St. Thomas, one of the islands that saw some of the worst of it.
This afternoon in Puerto Rico, a Coast Guard cutter loading up with supplies, heading for some of the islands Irma hit hardest.
On board, they're bringing everything they can to keep this relief effort growing. In fact, there are TSA officers on board as well today with the critical goal of getting the airport on St. Thomas back up and running.
The Virgin Islands whipped by Category 5 winds.
For a place that was once completely green and lush, everything now looks dead and bleak.
Tonight, still largely cut off, no cell phones, limited fuel.
Long line right here. This is a gas station. And everything, there's so many people.
The devastation on the U.S. Virgin Islands of St. Thomas and St. John, almost unbelievable.
You could not even see the street in some areas because it was covered in trees and roofs and just every kind of debris imaginable.
From the air, stunning images now emerging. On Tortola, pieces of homes strewn across the hillsides, boats piled up.
This section of my mom's room, the roof came off.
You can see it from space, St. Martin before and now after Irma came blowing through. Buildings flattened, cars crushed. Tonight, the urgent need for relief aid across this region is growing, residents struggling to get by.
We need water and food. It's not, maybe, it's for sure.
Others trying to get out. The Kentucky Air National Guard has evacuated more than 1,000 Americans from the Virgin Islands, while Royal Caribbean is using their cruise ships to bring people to Puerto Rico. Left behind, a tropical paradise, now desperately trying to pick up the pieces.
The U.S. Coast Guard cutter Donald Horsley has just landed tonight here on St. Thomas, bringing extra service member parts of hundreds of service members taking part in this giant relief effort. The White House tells NBC News the president is looking into the possibility down the line of making a trip here disaster, but at a time when it will not imperil those relief efforts. Lester?
All right, Ron Mott, thanks. And after Harvey and Irma, we're keeping a close eye on Hurricane Jose out in the tropics. Here's where we stand. It's expected to drift toward the southeast for the next 24 hours before making a loop back in the Atlantic. Forecasters say the East Coast and the Bahamas should avoid a landfall by the storm, but could be affected by high surf this weekend. We'll keep watching that. And a program note, be sure to tune in tonight for the Hand in Hand benefit for hurricane relief. An all-star lineup live tonight at 8, 7 Central here on NBC. Another big story we continue to follow is the massive security breach involving credit rating agency Equifax. The company whose very mission is about determining whether you are responsible with your finances. With nearly half the U.S. population affected and outrage growing, Congress is promising hearings, and some customers whose information has been stolen are promising lawsuits. Here's NBC's Tom Costello.
Tonight, NBC News counts nearly 50 lawsuits already filed in federal court over Equifax's historic data breach, including a multi-billion dollar class action suit.
I got an alert.
Plaintiff Jamie McDonagle says criminals have already used his information to make four illegal credit inquiries.
I never gave Equifax any kind of consent to have my information in the first place. And so they took my information without my permission and then were careless with it.
Today, 36 senators called for federal investigations into three Equifax executives who sold stock before the breach went public, though the company has said the execs didn't know of the breach. On Equifax's Facebook page, outrage. I can't wait to be part of the class action lawsuit. And anger that Equifax is only offering 1 year of free credit monitoring. Do the right thing. Give those affected a lifetime subscription.
What really troubles me is the amount of time it took for Equifax to come forward and let us know that we were at risk, that our identities had been compromised.
But will Equifax be held accountable? Already, credit agencies face fewer regulations than banks. Congressional Republicans want to further reduce regulations. The company has spent $500,000 this year lobbying Congress to ease regulations and its liability in data breaches.
This was a massive breach affecting most adult consumers in this country. Equifax's response to consumers was wholly inadequate. They need to be held accountable.
CEO Richard Smith hasn't responded to NBC's requests for comment.
There are strangers out there that know who I am. They know my birth date. They know my Social Security number. And they know specifically where I live. That scares me.
While the FBI continues to investigate, again today, consumer advocates urged every adult to take immediate action to safeguard their credit. We've got tips on how to do that on our Facebook page. Lester, I did it myself today. Back to you.
All right, Tom Costello, thanks. Tonight, tributes are pouring in for Edie Windsor, an icon of the gay rights movement who took her case all the way to the Supreme Court and won, helping to pave the way to ruling that legalized same-sex marriage nationwide. She passed away here in New York today at the age of 88, and NBC's Pete Williams has a look at the legacy she leaves behind.
Edie Windsor didn't set out to blaze a legal trail, but she ended up a hero to the gay rights movement in a landmark legal battle that went to the U.S. Supreme Court. After she got married in Canada, where it was legal between two women, her spouse, Thea Spire, died and left her the estate. But the IRS did not consider her married and sent a huge tax bill because a law, DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, blocked the federal government from recognizing same-sex marriages.
I couldn't believe that they were making a stranger of this person I lived with and loved for 43 and something years.
In U.S. v. Windsor, the Supreme Court struck the law down, saying it served no legitimate purpose. And just 2 years later, based largely on the Windsor ruling, the court struck down laws that prohibited same-sex marriage nationwide. At first a reluctant public figure, she came to enjoy her celebrity status. And a few months ago, in one of her last interviews, she said she got rock star treatment at public appearances.
What happens these days is they automatically stand up and roar. And it feels wonderful.
Her new spouse, Judith Kaysen Windsor, tonight called her a tiny but tough-as-nails fighter for freedom, justice, and equality. Pete Williams, NBC News, Washington.
Still ahead as we continue tonight, treating menopause. New hope for the millions of women who were told in the past that hormone replacement therapy put their health at risk. Also, a pulse-pounding moment caught on camera. A plane crashes right into a tree, but somehow the pilot walked away. We're back now with some encouraging news tonight for women dealing with menopause and its uncomfortable side effects that can last years. New research finds hormone replacement therapy may be safer than previously thought. The largest and longest clinical trials to date have found that the drugs do not increase the risk of premature death. NBC's Stephanie Goss tells us more.
Now to a major development regarding women's health and the very common treatment called hormone replacement therapy.
In 2002, a landmark study warned most women should avoid hormone replacement therapy because the popular treatment taken for decades could be dangerous, elevating the risk of some life-threatening conditions, including blood clots and breast cancer, discouraging women from one of the most effective ways to provide relief for menopause symptoms. But today, a follow-up on the original study tracking the same women for 18 years eases long-held fears about the therapy, concluding that women who choose hormone replacement are no more likely to die years later than those who do not.
Science evolves over time, and we think we now have a clearer message about the balance of benefits and risks of hormone therapy.
The most obvious of the symptoms are the hot flashes. My face turns red, I start to sweat.
Lisa Steimel is suffering through menopause. But even with today's study, she worries there is still a risk of breast cancer.
Running the risk of getting cancer isn't worth it to me.
Steimel's own gynecologist, who is on the therapy herself, says it needs to be a personal decision based on doctor's guidance.
We take into account the patient's personal history, her family history, other medications and other medical diagnoses that she may carry.
Add to that today's new findings, and some women who may feel helpless have renewed hope of relief. Stephanie Gosk, NBC News, New York.
We're back in a moment with our four-legged friends. Do you get a better night's sleep with or without them? Jaw-dropping video out of Connecticut, a small plane crashing into a tree and flipping over onto the parking lot below. Employees at a nearby business helped rescue the 79-year-old pilot inside. Amazingly, he had only minor injuries. The FAA is now investigating. Tonight, President Trump has become a grandfather for the ninth time. His son Eric and daughter-in-law Lara welcomed their first child, a baby boy named Eric Luke Trump, born at 8:50 this morning. The family making the announcement on Twitter and Instagram, showing off the first photos. Our congratulations to them. A question for dog owners tonight. When you go to sleep tonight, will you let your four-legged friend doze off with you? If not, maybe you should. A new Mayo Clinic study finds having a dog in your bedroom won't disturb your sleep. In fact, you may get a better night's rest. But it draws the line at actually letting your dog on the bed, showing that can cause some Z's if you're not careful. We'll let you talk that one among yourselves, and we'll take a break. When we come back, Apple's big surprise, a radically designed iPhone. A bunch of new bells and whistles, but it will cost you. Finally, tonight, it's one of the most anticipated tech announcements of the year. Apple today unveiled not one, but three new iPhone models, including the iPhone X, which offers Face ID and other cutting-edge features, and a hefty price tag. NBC's Lucy Kafanov has your inside look.
The future of the smartphone.
At Apple's new Steve Jobs Theater, the tech giant unveiling two updated iPhones, the 8 and the 8 Plus, and an Apple Watch that lets you ditch the phone.
We do have
one more thing.
One more thing.
But the star of the show.
This is iPhone X. It is the biggest leap forward since the original iPhone.
It's light, it's sleek, and for the first time ever, there's no home button. The iPhone X recognizes your face to unlock. But this new technology doesn't come cheap. The starting price, $1,000.
This is the most expensive base entry price for an iPhone ever. And I do believe you're going to find people who are going to jump all over this phone.
The new phone offers a brighter display, better battery life, wireless charging, and animated emojis that follow your face. After a recent slump that saw Android account for 67% of U.S. smartphone sales, Apple is under pressure to get it right.
It works like magic.
It's been 10 years since Steve Jobs unveiled the phone that would change everything.
We can now reflect on him with joy instead of sadness. Steve's spirit and timeless philosophy on life will always be the DNA of Apple.
The Apple founder may be gone, but today his influence is alive and well. Lucy Kafnov, NBC News, Cupertino, California.
We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.